Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir.
Hello, everyone. I'm Thomas Wasniewski, and I'm in the studio with Christopher McConaughey. Christopher, where are you from?
I'm from the United States of America. I actually was born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina, so that's more on the East Coast. And then I spent my adult years going to college in California.
And you choose to study in Poland. Why is that? Why did you choose Poland to study?
Well, my girlfriend will want me to tell you it's because of true love, but honestly, it's an amazing location, central of Europe, so travel is fast and easy. And if you compare the prices of the school to America, it's one-fifth the cost, 5,000 euros versus $36,000. So price-wise, no contest.
So you mentioned your girlfriend. She is Polish.
Yes, very Polish.
Oh, very Polish.
Yes.
Okay. Did you met in the USA or
yes,
abroad?
So she was actually an au pair, so basically a live-in babysitter. And I met her, and the moment I saw her and heard her speak, I was like, there's something different about this girl. And of course, the accent was the first thing, but just talking to her, I noticed how classy and sophisticated and smart she was. And I was like, I got to know where she's from. Are there more people like this? And yeah, we started talking. Turns out she's Polish. And, you know, I tried to, the more we dated and the more serious we got, I wanted to be part of her culture, part of her people, so to say. So I researched the country and I just fell in love with it.
Do you want to follow her to Poland for the rest of your life, or is it just a once-in-a-lifetime experience?
Well, it's hard to plan because, you know, looking back, we change so much, we grow so much as the years go by. So right now, the 25-year-old me, yes, I would love to stay here as long as I can. But once I turn 30, maybe have a kid or two, I'll have to see.
Of course, it depends on if you find a job in Poland, I guess. What do you study?
I study international business.
And can you tell me something about it? How is it in Poland?
So I come from a criminal justice major, so it's a completely different thing. We focus now on numbers and the big picture when it comes to empirical evidence specifically for companies and economies versus before it was all about people and societies. So it's a challenge getting my brain to switch hats, so to say, and think in a different way, so more towards numbers instead of people.
How long have you been in Poland so far?
When
did you move here?
Yeah, so I moved here back in July, around there, so I've been here about 7 months.
Okay, and how do you like it so far?
I like it a lot. I'm not going to lie. The first time I came here, I was very intimidated. The languages was very difficult for me to even comprehend. I know looking at me, you could tell I'm a foreigner. So there was that aspect to it. But the moment I came here, people have been super helpful. Even if they don't know English, they did their best to help me.
Okay, so you already mentioned the language barrier. Was it the biggest challenge, or is it still the biggest challenge you're facing in Poland?
I would say no, not by a long shot. I've noticed anyone who looks about 30 years old and younger, they know enough English for me to ask directions, for example. Anyone older than that, and they're still helpful. I would say the biggest challenge for me was the cultural differences. There is a lot of things when speaking and just talking with Polish people, I thought they were being rude, but it turns out it's just a cultural difference between America and Poland.
Being rude, you mean just by the words they choose, or?
It's not the words.
I guess it's maybe a small talk thing that's maybe bigger in the U.S.
Well, that's true, but it's not so much the words that are used, it's how that is spoken. So in America, interrupting people is considered highly disrespectful. So you always got to wait and make sure the person completes their full thought. Here in Polish, I find it's a lot more fast-paced in conversations. And of course, in America, we all have that stereotype that we have to keep an arm's distance away from people. Here in Poland, people get really close to me and I always have to keep reminding myself, okay, that's just how people are here. They have a different spatial boundary, you know, so it's not that they're being rude or they're trying to steal something from me, for example. It's just different.
So you have this, let's say, this debate culture in the US. Is that true? At school, at university, you, I don't know, debate a lot, or you practice how to debate? Is that true?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say necessarily a debate culture, but we do have what I like to call the culture of confidence. So from a very early age, they get us used to speaking in front of classes and speaking in front of people. And yes, debating is part of that. We have debate clubs, teams. It's part for my curriculum that I had anyway. You have to debate another person on a topic. There's just, hey, here's a topic. You're for it. You're against it. Research. Now debate.
Okay, so you mentioned people interrupt you while talking. Is there maybe some situation you can memorize that was maybe very bizarre or funny?
In terms of interruption, I would say it just happened with my first roommate I lived with. I would ask her a question, but before completing the question, she would respond very quickly, and that would happen multiple times. And I thought she was just being rude, but I know now, of course, that's not the case. Yola, if you hear this, I'm sorry for thinking that. But the weirdest kind of difference I saw was I'm African-American, black, so I have darker skin for those who are listening. And I was in Beauregard, a small, really borderline village, loosely a city. And I was walking down to the shop with my girlfriend. This woman literally comes up to me. She rolls her sleeve up on her arm. She's like touching her skin, then touching mine. It's like, oh, she was so amazed.
Amazed. Okay. Yeah. That's a positive reaction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you experienced other reactions as well so far?
Yeah. The interesting thing about that, it wasn't necessarily me. It was the person I was with. And just by association, I kind of got absorbed into that. So, for example, it's just like an unspoken thing black men do is when we see each other, we acknowledge each other, especially in a place like Poland where there's so few of us. So I was on the bus coming home from work, and this other guy who was black who happened to be American as well, he comes up to me and he's like, oh, hey, are you from America? Me too. So we're talking about that. And this guy on the bus who was obviously drunk, you know, he says, you know, the K word towards us. But we just ignored it and continued our conversation.
You mentioned that people may interrupt you. Mm-hmm. When it happened the first time with your roommate, did you just continue the conversation and were thinking, well, maybe this is kind of rude? Or did you interrupt as well and ask her, why do you interrupt all the time?
Yeah, I just I accepted it and just moved on from it. I'm the kind of person where I don't like to make a mountain out of a molehill, so make a bigger problem than what it's worth. And I'm like, I still got to live with this girl, and if she just happens to be rude like that, then I'll just let it go so we can all live in peace.
And do you have the same experience in classes? Do your fellow students also interrupt more often, or
no,
are they more polite towards their teacher?
The polite towards the, actually, yes, they're much more polite towards the teacher than American students are. The biggest argument, you can even loosely call it, between a Polish student and his professor was just a disagreement, more of a debate. And it was about accounting. It was still on topic with the class. In America, I saw this student at a college, so what you would call a university, he just, verbally attacked the professor personally. So it wasn't about a debate or anything kind of structured argument. And it got to the point, it was so bad that my fellow classmates had to be like, hey, man, you're being disrespectful. You should just leave. The teacher is on the verge of tears right now. So there's and that's the other thing I noticed culturally. The people here are so well-mannered and so respectful. You know, it's a funny situation. In America, for instance, I had a young kid ask me to buy him cigarettes. Of course, I said no. He's too young. I left. And he was just like, well, man, whatever, you know, being dismissive. But here in Poland, there's this kid with leather jacket, leather boots, spiky hair. And he asked me in Polish, I'm assuming for cigarettes. And I said, I don't have any. And I only speak English. And he switched it over to English. Hi, good day. I was wondering if you could buy me some cigarettes from the store. I said, no, sorry, I got to get home. Oh, well, thank you for your time. Good evening. And he left. I was like, wow. Even the less reputable people, I would say, are very, very well-mannered here.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, of course, younger people under the age of 30 are basically fluent in English.
Yes.
But older, not so much. So let's say you're in a barbershop or somewhere,
mm-hmm.
do you have a problem with English there?
Luckily, I don't when it comes specifically to a barbershop, just because I researched ahead of time the trendy, I guess you can say, barbershops, so they know how to cut people's hair from different countries, let's put it that way. But when it comes to buying a bus ticket, for example, yeah, that's where I had the biggest problem. Thank goodness for Google Translate. I was able to translate that. They got the idea. And then I taught myself a phrase, and I just realized it's actually bad Polish. But I'd say, jeden bilet, autobus poproszę, which apparently is very, very bad. Everyone always laughs when they hear me say that. But I got my point across. I got my bus tickets.
Any other situations in Poland where you might have some troubles?
The weird thing is, I was actually telling my friends who are from England and America that anyone who watches the news nowadays, they know that in America, when it comes to how people treat black people, African Americans, it's not always the best. It's not super bad all the time, but it's not always the best. Here, I notice people stare at me, not necessarily because I'm a black male and they think I'm going to do something bad. They just stare at me because I look really different. And the worst I've ever gotten in this country or someone treating me differently is that they cut in front of me in line. They just think, oh, yeah, this guy, he doesn't know Polish. It'll be fine. They cut in front of me when it comes to like the water fountain or buying an automated bus ticket. And I always say, I think to myself, it feels good that people treat me differently and like look at me, not because I'm a black male and they think it's negative, but just because I'm a foreigner. I just look weird to them.
Of course, that's, I guess it's a most normal reaction.
Right.
If you would see someone with green skin,
yeah,
it would have been the same reaction, of course.
Yeah, I remember actually before I got the confidence to start asking in Polish for bus tickets, I would walk everywhere. Like, actually, I would walk here a lot to this campus from my house, which is about 4 kilometers one way. And
for how long did you walk?
Oh, 3 months, I guess. Yeah, I lost a lot of weight. But yeah, there's this guy who I just happened to walk across. He had a really big, frowy hair, and it was like blue or some strange color. And he had like a ripped up shirt and jeans with holes in it. And it's funny because as we walked, we both stared at each other, you know, because we both thought the other person looked so weird. So I don't really blame Polish people for staring at me like that, because clearly I would do the same.
And you said you walked because you, if I understand correctly, you had not the confidence to just ask and buy a ticket.
Right.
Is that true?
That is completely true.
So what helped you to finally encourage yourself and go ahead, buy a ticket yourself?
It was starting to rain a lot. That's honestly what it was. I walked to, I think it was Galeria Bałtycka. Yeah. And by the time I got there, it was pouring rain. I was just drenched. And luckily, my girlfriend had a car then, so she picked me up. But after that, I was like, okay, I got to find out how to order a bus ticket and take the bus now.
And since then, no walking.
No walking. the most I'll walk is, I don't know, from my house to a bus stop, and then from a bus stop to my destination. But those 4 kilometer walks, I'm not doing that again.
And have you catched or learned some Polish phrases, or do you improve your Polish a little bit?
I'm improving it. I'm slowly increasing my vocabulary. I didn't mention it before, but I teach at the Institute of Native Linguistics. And it's a pretty cool place. I think the guy who owns it is American, and he only employs native speakers. So I would talk to my coworkers, and they would ask me, or I would ask them, how do you guys get around? How do you buy groceries, buy bus tickets? And so they taught me the phrases that are essential for a foreigner to know, and that I just corroborated, so make sure it's true with my students. So, of course, there's kochamcie. That was the first one I learned. I love you. There's the K word everyone knows. Jeden piwo, jeden wódka, jeden wino. Of course, I know those. Nastrovia, yes, that one too. So, you know, just little phrases in social situations I use.
So you teach English to Polish people?
Yes, Polish professionals mainly.
So, professionals, so business people?
Right, so people who come in and they want a native speaker's perspective on how to speak the language, because they're...
How to use the language as well, I guess.
Exactly, a lot of usage. One thing is, and it's kind of funny because a lot of my students, they come in with perfect grammar to the point where it's too perfect. It sounds robotic. And I always tell them, yes, that's the technical way, that's correct, but here's how a native speaker would use it, for example. And I also offer them more like specified fine tune because we have engineers, we have people who are into politics, information technology, IT. And so like, what do I have to know to communicate what I need them to know? And that's it.
Can I give you an example where Polish people are maybe too correct in the way they use English?
Let's see. So the first example that comes to mind, the future perfect tense. So it's about how long you have done something up to a point in the future is one of the ways you would use it. So I will have known Martini, my girlfriend, for 3 years in November. That's very technically correct grammatically, but how a native speaker would say it is, oh, I will know Martini for 3 years in November.
Of course, you study in English here.
Yes.
And your teachers are Polish, I guess.
Yes.
So how do they use the language, English language?
Yeah, so there's no spectrum. Either they're really good or they're not the best in the world. For me, because I teach English, it's kind of difficult. So, for example, I have a professor this semester, and she speaks Polish the exact same way a lot of my students do when they first begin my lessons with them. So I constantly have to remind myself, don't correct it. You know, don't focus on what she's saying. Just listen and, you know, learn the lesson. Other than that, I can say it. It's kind of my secret to passing a lot of tests is I don't always know the material. I'm not a perfect student. So I just put whatever is grammatically correct. And so that's how I passed a lot of my tests. But like I said, it's not a spectrum. Either the professor's really, really good at it or they should take some extra lessons. Let's put it that way.
But of course, you don't mention that.
Yeah, of course not.
But did it actually happen that maybe in Polish professor speaking English did not understand you, what you were saying, because you were not like grammatically 100% correct the way you were saying it?
Yeah.
That happen?
That happens really often, even with a lot of my friends. Actually, that's how I learned. I have to watch what I say and how I say it because I use a lot of idioms. I use a lot of it's not exactly a redaction, but the main example in American English, when you say I could have, I should have, or I would have, I want to, I'm going to, for example, you say coulda, woulda, shoulda, or you can say I'm gonna or I wanna. And to me, that just sounds natural, but I didn't realize to someone who's learning as a second language, it sounds like a made-up word. So that's actually what I find most mentally tiring is making sure I say something in the way that it's understood.
So you can say here in Poland, you have to focus on your own language even more than in the US.
Yes, exactly.
And maybe have to speak, and if you can say, more proper English than the US?
Yes, I do. I have to speak very properly. I know it's kind of off topic, but that's one thing I really like about coming home to my girlfriend. She lived in America for 2 years, so when I go back, I can just speak normally.
And maybe drop some swear words, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, that everyone's favorite four-letter word, you know, I use that as a bit of a filler word. So instead of saying us and ums when I'm at home, that's the word I use. I heard it's very common for people to use the K word here, so...
Yeah, because yeah. Some Polish student explained me the Polish K word is like the English F word.
Yeah.
So it can have a positive and a negative meaning.
Right.
So you just have to know how to use it.
Yeah.
But of course, if you're new to the language, you should just avoid that word because most of the time it just ends up being insulting.
Right. And that's the funny thing. When I was in America, before I came here, I was researching, you know, a bunch about Poland. And so one of the things I typed on YouTube, common Polish phrases, and there's a video that's like, it's titled something along the lines of words Polish people use a lot. And the K word was one of them. And this was before I knew any Polish. And it was like a 7-minute video. And every scenario they had a guy saying that. So I'm like, I gotta learn this word. It's so useful. And so I used it, and then, like I said, Gene, that word, dobre, and I didn't realize how insulting that was. So now I'm like, okay, nope, not for me. Do you find that you blend in more with, let's say, Polish people? Do people come up to you and, you know, speak Polish, or do they, oh, I could tell you're maybe not all that Polish, and so they try to speak English?
Well, I've learned for one semester Polish prior to coming here. Mm-hmm. So I approach people, at least say dzień dobry or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it sounds more or less Polish. So they answer in Polish right away. Mm-hmm. And then I maybe have to say, okay, I don't speak enough Polish. Maybe we can continue in English. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just a way of being polite in any country where you go or where you are. Mm-hmm. At least learn some phrases and approach people in their own language. Mm-hmm. But of course it happens, or it happened, that I try to say something in Polish and people just responded in English to me. Of course it wasn't meant to be rude, but mm-hmm. I took it as being a little bit rude, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least I was disappointed in myself because obviously my Polish wasn't good enough for people to wanted to continue speaking Polish with me.
Yeah, don't feel bad. I had the same thing happen to me. I was like, okay, I know the sentence I have to say. So I asked for a train ticket, and then the guy was like, Yaki? And I'm like, Yaki, does that mean juice? So, you know, after that, he's like, okay, we'll switch to English. So
yeah,
you're
sure.
Not the only one going through that.
But my experience is people are, they like it if you approach them in Polish because they just acknowledge that you're at least trying.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the beautiful thing I really like about Polish people is, you know, I go up and even if I say a completely wrong sentence or I pronounce it terribly, they still enjoy the effort that you're trying to learn this beautiful sounding yet difficult language.
So thank you, Chris, for your time. I think it was very interesting. I think we learned a lot. It's an interesting perspective you gave to your audience. Thank you very much, and we see us next week.
All right, thank you.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me, sir.